Yo, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Redemption Church Podcast with Pastor Khalid. Now get ready for a word that is guaranteed to bless you and guide you throughout this upcoming week. So as always out there, thank you for tuning in. Take care, God bless, and enjoy.
Right now called Life Be Life, and I think we're turning the corner on this series, but there's a little more left to be done and explored. For those of us who are not familiar with the series that we are in, this series has allowed us to feel validated, to feel affirmed that sometimes life can get hard.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Sometimes life gets a bit overwhelming. Yes, and if I'm honest, I say this objectively, I'm not looking for pity. Since we started this series, Princess, my life, things have gotten a little warm. since we started this series, obstacles, challenges from all areas of my life, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, it's been a little warm in my life. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to quit. But I believe that when you speak a word, God tests us to see if we can live by that word.
Yeah.
And I think I'm doing all right. I think I'm doing all right. So I feel validated in knowing that I'm still here sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And I hope that you are inspired and encouraged in some way, shape, or form. For those of us who don't know, man, we've been looking at the life of Job. We looked at Lazarus. We looked at other individuals in the Bible. We looked at the man in the pool, or by the pool, a couple of weeks ago. And he was sick for 38 years. And today, we're going to look at a passage that is familiar to many of us. If you have your Bible, Mark 5, 24 through 34. If you don't have your Bible, it's all good. We're going to put it on the screen here. But man, I'm excited to share this word today.
Glory.
Can I just go ahead and start reading it, please?
Yes, sir.
It reads as follows. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. If I may be honest, there's a part of me who want to read this like a Baptist scripture, man.
Do it.
This is one of those scriptures that you want to read it like a good old Southern Baptist preacher. But I'm going to stay true to who I am and Colleen. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately. The bleeding stopped.
Yes, sir.
And she could feel. Anybody ever know when things have changed in your life? Know that you can count on God?
Yes.
Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized that once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you, right, talking about right. Who touched me?" But he kept on looking around. He knew he had lost something. He kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." I want to go back to verse 27. She had heard about Jesus.
Right.
So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, Lindsay. For she thought to herself, she wasn't encouraged. It wasn't a motivational speech. She thought to herself, Nishanda, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. And verse 29 says, immediately the bleeding stopped. I want to speak from this subject today, too desperate not to be delivered. I'm too desperate not to be delivered. I want to sit on this slide for a moment, if I can prepare our thinking as we prepare to lean into our learning and commence our conversation today. Desperation is a real thing.
Yes, sir.
Desperation desperation means that we are at the doorstep of hopelessness. Desperation means we are at the doorstep of giving up. Desperation means that I've done all that I can do and my resources, my methodologies don't seem to be functioning the way that they usually do, and I'm left to answer the question, what do I do now?
That's good.
Desperation breeds, Jamisha, a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
It is this thought that when we are desperate, we must figure out something to do to acquire a different result. Now, desperation really, it leads us down two roads. I want to break down what desperation can do to us intentionally or unintentionally. Because of our sense of urgency, sometimes we are so urgent that our judgment is compromised.
Yeah.
Sometimes we are so urgent and eager for a different result or a different outcome that our judgment is cloudy.
Yeah,
in fact, there are some of us, this is the first road, and I'm generally speaking, some of us, our judgment is so clouded, our judgment is so compromised because of the sense of urgency and the desperation, we begin to color outside the lines of morality.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
We are so urgent and desperate for a different outcome, Larry, watch this, that we live or settle beneath our holy standards. We find ourselves entertaining people in relationships that when we are in our right minds, we wouldn't even have a cup of coffee with them. But when I'm desperate for love, when I'm desperate for attention, when I'm desperate for affection, and time is running out, I wanted to be married by 30, I wanted to have kids by 33, time is running out, so I'm desperate, and I'm in situations with people that I otherwise wouldn't be with because I'm urgent and my judgment has been compromised. I color outside the lines of what my standard is. I color outside the lines of what is acceptable morally, ethically, professionally, personally, characteristically. I'm doing things because of desperation that I normally wouldn't do. That's one crossroad where the sense of urgency has allowed my judgment to be off. The other lane that we go through because of desperation, it is not about making terrible decisions. It is we are willing to take risks that we wouldn't otherwise consider because our primary resources ain't working.
Right.
Say that.
I'm going to say that again. I hear you, Tip. Desperation, not only can it lead us down a path of terrible decision making, the other road or alternative avenue is that we are taking risks we otherwise wouldn't take, only because, Jared, our primary options ain't working.
Oh.
In other words, what do I have to lose? I'm not immoral, I'm not unethical, I'm not doing anything that is contrary to what God has asked me to do. I'm not compromising my holy standard, my righteousness standard, but I am willing to try things that I normally wouldn't try, and so I'm left to answer the question, what do I have to lose?
Yeah.
I believe that for God, for some of us, God, Corbin, deliberately puts us in spaces and places for us to flirt with desperation so we can encounter him in ways that we normalize wouldn't when all of our primary resources are functioning appropriately.
Glory.
As long as our methodologies and our resources and our outlets, our friends, our money, our influence are functioning appropriately, God says you will never seek that place of desperation to experience me in new and in greater ways. So it could be that you didn't do anything wrong. God wants you to tap into a deeper version of yourself so you can tap into him into deeper ways. God is calculated. He is strategic about what we are facing because here's the thing, Rochelle, here's the thing, Nene, Shonda. God desires to get to know us in deeper ways.
Thank you, Lord.
And the formula, the prerequisite, that's a better way to put it, the prerequisite to experience God in new and deeper ways is some of us got to be desperate.
Yeah, it's good.
I got to be open to experiencing God in new ways. And God is saying, I got you right where I want you because your grandma can't give you that wisdom that you need in this season.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Your money can't buy you out of this situation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Your last name can't save you. from what you know. Normally, it is your name, it is your influence, it is your good deeds, your good character that bails you out of seasons. But there comes a point in time, Tony, where we have to be desperate enough to say, God, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm putting all my cards in on you.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know how this is going to end. I don't know how when I'm going to get out of this. But I've come to the realization there's nothing else for me to do. And what do I have to lose? Putting all the chips in the table and betting on you.
Glory.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've done the front loading for our friend today. This woman is desperate. This woman is desperate. In fact, when we look at the slide here, we will see a little bit about who she is. Just Jesus went with him, we'll get to him in a second, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd has suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, meaning that she saw doctor after doctor after doctor and nothing changed. And over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. This, on the surface, reminds us, or it should remind us, of the guy we talked about a couple weeks ago. And there are some similarities superficially and on the surface that I want to bring to our attention, the educator and me, the professor and me. I got to give you a table. Go ahead, Thomas, to help us understand some similarities and some distinct differences. The similarities between this woman in Mark 5 and the man in John chapter 5, both of these individuals are unnamed. Now, that's critically important. I'm going to give you hope this morning. You don't have to be influential or important enough for God to come see about you. You don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to be the biggest either. You don't have to lay hands and cast out demons. All God is looking for is a willing heart. He knows your name anyway. I don't care if the offering doesn't know your name. I don't care if your neighbor doesn't know your name. Both of these individuals are left unnamed.
Right, right.
And I love the strategic nature of the writer here, because if everybody had a name like the individual of Jairus, J-A-I-R-U-S, we see that Jesus is actually following him in verse 24. This is a man of influence. This is a man of power. That the Bible names this man Jairus. And Jesus says, I know who you are. The author says, I know who you are. But this woman, I don't know your name.
That's great.
Yeah, good.
Don't think you're so inferior that God can see about you.
Yeah.
The second thing that these individuals have in common is that there is a, go back Thomas, you're good. The second thing is that they both have lingering issues.
Good.
Issues that won't go away. This man has been lame for 38 years. She has this bleeding issue, which is a reflection of the menstrual cycle, a very natural thing gone wrong, and has derailed what is normal physiologically and biologically. This issue for 12 years has been pestering her. And then we see that they both made the effort. The man of 38 years being lame, at one point in time, he wanted to get healed. He pressed his way to the pool where there would be miracles happening. If I could just sit by the pool and I get in, guess what? I can get my miracle. And she invested all of her money in doctors. I want to ask us a question this morning. What are we putting all of our things into before we finally meet God? Some of us were putting our time, our energy into influence. Some of us were putting our time and energy into status, covering your children's ears. Some of us are putting our hearts, our minds, our resources into women, into men. Some of us are putting our hearts and minds into other earthly things. If I can get the latest car, if I can get the latest shoes, if I can get this amount of money in my bank account. But there comes a point in time where we put our time and energy into everything and we realize that ain't good enough.
Right.
I'm still stuck with the same issues. In fact, the issue has only gotten worse since I put more into those natural things, and I dare you to think, I'm going to stop putting my energy into this and put it into God. I'm going to stop losing sleep on this, and I'm going to start thinking about God. God wants us to know, but are you going to lose everything before you get something from me? She made the effort, but she had to lose everything to experience God. Ladies and gentlemen, I also want to bring to our attention some distinct differences. Lord Thomas, we see that a fundamental difference, this is good, between the man in John 5 and this woman in Mark 5, watch this, she doesn't have company to comfort her in her crisis.
Okay.
The man is at the pool, and it is appropriate environmentally for us to have pity with each other because misery loves company. She is enduring this misery all by herself. She doesn't have a coach. She doesn't have a motivator. She doesn't even have someone who, according to scripture, that she can lean on when things get challenging or more difficult to say, we're going to be all right. She is navigating this all by herself. And here's the thing that is very interesting, Chief. She has an issue that is not conducive to her environment.
Right.
In the book of Leviticus, we learn, according to the old law, that when blood left the body, this individual was considered unclean.
Right.
That's right. That's right.
Unclean. So anybody who knew she had an issue, in fact, if she was married, her husband, we done here.
Yes.
Her kids, we done here. Her friends, we are done here because according to the law, it is not appropriate for me to be in your company and for you to be in mine. In fact, Tiara, if you touch somebody who was unclean,
right.
You had to be ostracized and go to the proper rituals of worship to be deemed clean again according to the law. So her being in this crowd is problematic. I wonder if people knew enough about her and they saw her coming, if they looked at her the
right
way.
Yeah.
There are certain things about ourselves, if we are honest when the right person is in the room and they know a little too much about us, they look at it. They don't mean to look at us funny, but they look at us funny because they ask us, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. I know what your history is. I know what your resume is. I know what you did last summer. I know what you did last night. You don't deserve to be in here. But oh, I thank God that we serve a God that doesn't, he just wants to know what you press your way through the environment, even when your presence is problematic.
Thank you, Lord.
That's good. That's good.
And then the impact of their pain.
All right.
This guy, I'm not minimizing being lame, but he's reached a space in his life where he's stagnant. He's stagnant. The dialogue that we see between Jesus and him in John chapter 5, he has embraced where he is. His problem is tolerable enough to where he doesn't have to want for more. But we see this young lady, this woman, her problem has become progressively worse, that the pain is disruptive to her progress.
Right.
See, there's some of us that we have problems that we can still function with, that we can embrace and say, just a part of who I am, what I do, and I'm okay, I can make it work. And then there are some of us that have problems that impact every single day of our lives. The impact of her pain, and I'm not a woman, obviously, but rumor has it that this cycle can be very problematic. So somebody said amen, all right? So imagine this problem producing a pain every single day of your life.
Wow.
You can't even act like it ain't there because your body reminds you that it's there.
Yeah.
You can't even act like it ain't there because people treat you and remind you that it's still there. So this pain, this problem, impedes her ability to be normal if she wanted to. Then there are some distinct differences that will guide our discussion today. The mindset of this woman. Inspirational. The pursuit, because of her mindset, is encouraging. And her familiarity with Jesus, the Bible says that she had heard of Jesus. The man, the Bible makes it very clear, he didn't know who blessed them until after the fact. And there's something about when we know who we're serving. There's something about when we know a little bit about who Jesus is and what he can do, how that should alter our mindset and our perspective. It is through this lady that you and I must answer a series of questions today. I got three questions that I want you to answer. I got three questions I want you to contemplate, not just for now, but in your study this week. It is these three questions that really force us to think about whatever we're facing, whatever we're navigating, that despite the degree of difficulty that it is, do we have the mindset and the heart to be delivered from whatever we're facing when given the opportunity? Let's look at our first passage here. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately, the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Here's the first question that I want to ask you. How bad do you want it?
All right.
How bad do you want him? Let that simmer, let that resonate for a second, because some of us in our natural minds, instinctively, we say really bad. Really bad. I want him more than anything. Well, we're kind of, if I can, take my time and go through verse by verse and highlight what indicates your level of urgency in wanting Christ. Verse 27 says she had heard about him, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. Now, this is good, because it helps us see that she's not waiting for Christ to meet her. I'm not waiting for Christ to come see about me. I'm going to do what I can, even if I just get a glimpse of the back of him. If the glory has passed me by and I missed it, I'm going to do what I can. Yes, I'm unclean. You say I'm unworthy, but you got to excuse me. And my manners don't matter right now, because I'm trying to have an experience with God. It's not about convenience. I'll say excuse me after I get my blessing. I'll come back and figure out who I hurt along the way. But I'm too desperate not to be delivered. I want him more than anything. And it's all because she heard about him. Some of us have seen what God can do.
Yes, yes.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
And we're still casual in our relationship with him. You've seen the transformative power of God. And yet we're still waiting. He's gonna have to reveal himself to me. How bad do we want him? How bad do we want to experience him? Do we kind of want him? Do we want it when it's convenient? Or do we want it more than it? Are we willing to step over people? Not because I'm rude, but because I'm urban. It's that important to me that I experience it. If I knock you over, don't take it personally. It's just I want him more than I care about being polite right now. That's how bad she wants Jesus. And the thing that I love here, man, her opinion of God forces her to risk being chastised, rebuked, and mocked all the more because of her direct desperation. Watch this. Some of us won't move because we're tired of people talking about us enough already. I won't take this type of risk because I know this risk is too public. And if it's too public, that brings about more scrutiny and more isolation. And I'm cool. People have talked about me enough, so I'm fine. The opinions of others don't matter in this context.
Glory.
Yet the opinions of your friends, the opinions of your family will keep you bound, stagnant, crippled, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, because what are they going to think about me? Verse 28 says, for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. This word, if, for those of us who are taking notes, if is the acknowledgement of what is missing or necessary for a specific outcome.
Teach.
I'm going to say it again. If, when we use the word if, it is the acknowledgement of what is missing or necessary for a specific outcome. What does that mean? That means that I've been trying to obtain or acquire a specific outcome, but the variable has been missing. But now I know what I need to get the outcome that I've been longing for. If I just get in my word, I'll grow differently.
Come on.
If I study what Pastor is talking about every Sunday, then maybe I can start living out what he's talking about. If I spend more time in prayer, maybe God will give me the answer that I've been seeking for. If I just lift my hands in praise and worship, maybe that's the deliverance I need, because I've arrived at a point where I don't care about people's opinion. If I walk away from this person in my life, I guarantee I will experience a newfound esteem and confidence. If I just step out on faith and do what God is calling me to do, maybe I can experience him in greater ways. If it's the variable that's missing for an outcome that we want, I guarantee you, if you flirt with if too long, there comes a point in time where you got to make a decision sooner or later. Now, when God reveals the if,
amen.
When God reveals the if, I believe we're officially held accountable in a different way.
Right.
I heard about this Jesus, and if he's as powerful as I heard he is, then I can get my deliverance. I've gone to the doctors, I've spent all my money, I've sought counsel, I've done this ritual, I've done this remedy at the crib and all these other things, but these things ain't working. But if this guy is who they say he is, then it's worthwhile just reaching out to touch a part of him. I don't need him to talk to me. I don't need him to look at me. If I can just touch a part of his glory, if I can just get a whiff of his power, if I can just get a whiff of his strength, if I can just see the glory leave the room and I'm there after everything is gone, I believe if I get a portion of him, my entire life will never be the same.
Yeah.
If you need to acknowledge that missing variable. Verse 29, immediately the bleeding stopped. And she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Verse 29 is very interesting as well, because this sheds light. This woman is unclean. She's unworthy to be in public. But verse 29 sheds light on this thought, that it speaks to the power of encountering God. When we encounter God, no matter how unclean we are, he makes us clean. Yeah. A cleanliness that you feel. You don't need people to tell you. You feel in yourself.
That's right.
I want to inspire someone this morning. I don't care what you've been through, what you faced, how long you've been facing it. When you get a piece of God and what he desires to give you, you have no choice but to be different.
Amen. Right.
And if you remain the same, the question is, did you ever encounter him?
Right.
And then there are some of us who encounter God and are resistant to the power of God, and we prefer, watch this, to remain where we are rather than walk in his life-changing power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's real.
Mm. Next question I want to give you is verse 30 through 31. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me?" Here's the question, and we're going to sit in this for a while. Do you leave him with anything?
Oh, wow. Wow.
Do you leave him with anything? Pastor Kay, what do you get at here? I'm glad you asked. Jesus has something to offer all of us.
Yeah.
And he's the perfect indicator whether or not we've got something from him when we are in his presence.
Good.
She was able to retrieve something from God, watch this, because she believed Jesus has something to offer. What if we're going through the motions of church crowd, and we don't ever believe God can give us anything? This unnamed woman, through her faithfulness, through the sense of desperation and courage, teaches us a valuable lesson. If we believe there is something to be had, he will give us something, because we believe there's something to retrieve.
Word.
I believe, unfortunately, verse 31 is a better indication of some of us, and I'm not being judgy, I'm not being condemning, but I want to consider, I want you to consider this for a second. Verse 31, the disciples are tripping because they said, his disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you, how can you ask to touch me?
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of us in the presence of God who get nothing from the presence of God. Watch this. I can bump Jesus and never be blessed. We can go through the ritualism of praise and worship. That's bumping God. That's bumping Jesus. Oh, the glory of God filled this place, but you didn't get no glory. I can touch God and not touch him enough to have a testimony. I can come week after week with the crowd. I can wait in traffic. I can park off of Tillman Road. I can park wherever you need me to be. I can find my seat, and I can still not get anything from the presence of God because I'm just here to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Wow.
Or I don't believe there's something to be had.
Wow.
Here's a question, and this is a harsh question, but I gotta ask the question. Why come if you don't believe there's something for you to get? I'm not being judgy, I'm not being whatever else you're sarcastic, but me, in my mind, in my natural mind and in my spiritual mind, look, gas costs too much to be driving across town to get nothing. I'm way too busy to get up when I do on a Sunday morning to get nothing from God. So when we are preparing to come into this space of this physical space of worship, where are you spiritually, mentally, emotionally? Do you even have an expectation? Do you even say to yourself, God, this word is for me today?
It's good.
Do you say to yourself, God, this word that you, whatever this word is, I'm going to apply it to my life?
Amen.
Or are we coming for an emotional experience? This is where emotions can be tricky. Culturally, and when I say cultural, I'm talking about a specific demographic and the way we do church, we've been taught to feel more than we've been taught to think. So if I'm driven by my feelings and my thought process was never the pilot of my worship experience, I can tell you that the songs were great. I can tell you that I cried. I can tell you that the presence of God was there. But because I didn't think before I arrived, I didn't think in real time, I didn't think after real time, then I won't get anything to apply to my life beyond my feelings. You got a lot of people who are driven by emotion. Let me see if this guy is for real. Let me see if this Jesus guy is worth following. Let me see what he's going to do today. Let me see if I can get a free meal. Let me see if I can get a shout out. Let me see how legitimate he is. I want to see him mess up. I want to see him experience more power. Ooh, is that magic? I want to see from a spectator standpoint and not a spiritual one.
Yes, sir.
Coming to the space, not just here, but Sunday after Sunday, millions of churches, people crowd in with crises, with chaos, and they never experience Christ. And I imagine, Corbin, God is saying, if only you knew what I wanted to give you.
Right.
Oh, I gotta say it, the consumer mentality has robbed us of giving God anything.
Thank you.
Give me, good music. Give me, a great production. Give me, a cool social environment. Give me, and we never once, God, what can I give you?
That's good.
Your attention? God, I'm going to give you my undivided attention today. God, I'm going to give you a new level of faith today. I'm going to give you a new expectation today. God, I don't care how the praise and worship sound. God, I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how big it is, how many people there, who ain't there. I'm coming for that word, and I'm giving you my undivided attention. Do you love God enough to turn off all the noise and say, it's just you and me, God?
Amen.
It's just you. I'm not talking about at home. I'm not giving you an unreasonable expectation. I'm not saying go in your prayer closet for an hour a day. I'm talking about when you come with the crowd, Quaylen. Where it's understood we're here to meet Jesus, and you know he's there, and we get nothing from him. What's an indication? Well, I'm glad you asked. Have you grown? Oh, these are tough questions. Maybe the reason why you're locked down to whatever you've been locked down to is because you haven't grown out of it yet. There are some things, Pastor Chris, we gotta grow out of.
Yes.
There are some things we mature out of. There are some things that the prerequisite for deliverance is a shift in my spiritual development.
Amen.
So the reason I'm still dealing with the issues that I'm dealing with is because I'm too childish not to grow out.
That's right.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm challenging us today.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say this and I'm going to move on to something. I'm like, thank God. Don't waste your time. I want you here. I want you to be here. I want you to go through the motions of the praise and worship. I think God has done some amazing things for Redemption Church. I think you will continue to experience them. But if you come and the presence of God is here and we get nothing from Him, you have wasted your time. You've wasted your time. And it's a sad commentary to be at home and not get anything, but to come here and not get anything.
Man.
It makes sense if I'm at the crib. Like, dang, man, I miss church this Sunday. You know, like, I was talking to my wife on the way, man, I hate this church, but YouTube only does so much because you got to be here to experience certain things.
Yes. Yeah.
But to have the option to come, and you're here, and you get nothing. Stop bumping Jesus and be blessed by it.
Amen.
We bump the master and we didn't get nothing from the master. And the difference is expectation.
Yes, sir.
She bumped, touched, experienced the same God. She entered into the presence of God like everybody else, but she was the only one who encountered the power of God.
All right.
I'm going to advise you to do something. Stop entering His presence without encountering His presence. Will we enter, ready to go? But there's no expectation to encounter the power of His presence. Okay, here's our last question. But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman trembling at the realization of what had happened. And Darnell, if you want to come on up, sir, this point won't be long. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." This is my favorite part. Because some of us think that what we're facing, it's going to come back around again. But when God says your suffering is over, there's no demon in hell that can run it back in your life. Because God says it's over. Here's a question. Will you give God praise? Some of us are stuck where we are because we won't have the humility to say God did it.
Wow.
We're delusional about who delivered us.
Come on.
You thought it was the prayer towel you prayed for to be sent to your doorstep. Some of y'all laughing, but here those kind of things, what if you get lost in the mail? It's something very fundamental. If you get lost in the mail, you're not going to be delivered. These are things that we have to be able to swim through, sift through, to understand the true source of our deliverance.
Yes, sir.
Don't be delusional about who delivered you. Verse 32, God is looking for people who can admit He's done something in their lives. 32, He kept looking around to see who had pulled from Him. Who did it? Who did it? Can He say to you, "You got something from me today"?
Hey, everyone. I hope you are enjoying this message. Before you hear the latter part of this message, I want to tell you how you can give and support our ministry. Go to our website, redemptionchurchfw.com, and hit the give button. Whatever you give will help us spread the gospel. Whatever you give will help us do what we need to do in our community to continue to advance the kingdom of God. We love you and we thank you, and enjoy the remainder of this message. God bless.
Jesus came from the back of the room and he looked around and he knows the answer to this question. If he looked around and said, who gets up for me today? How many people can say he gets up? How many people can say that we got some more strength because of Jesus? How many of us can say, I can love better because of Jesus? I got joy because of Jesus. I got more patience because of Jesus. I got more discipline because of Jesus. How many of us can say, if Jesus Christ came in right now and said, who pulled at me and got some power? And then what if he didn't leave it to us to answer? What if it was left up to him to say what we actually got? I imagine he's like, angels lock the doors, it's about to get real. what if, this is a tougher question. What if God, Jesus, came in and he put on the screen the percentage of our ability to get something from him when we do come? You only get stuff from me 5% out of the year. 2 Sundays out of the year, Easter, Christmas. You come more open every other time. It's just ritualism. You ain't getting nothing from me. You great. Hey, appreciate you sharing the good news on social media, reposting, sharing the podcast and all those other things, but you yourself, you're not receiving anything.
Okay.
God is looking for individuals. And here's the thing. He wants to give us something.
Yes.
He's not a selfish God. Go ahead, Darnell. He's not a selfish God. He's not a God that says, look, nope, this all mine. Or I have a limited supply.
Right.
I'm glad we serve a God that says, whatever you need. Because the goal is to be like me. I can't command you to be like me if I don't give you aspects of me. If we say love like Jesus Christ, but he's not giving us love, how can we be like Jesus Christ and demonstrate his love? Verse 33. What I love about this woman in the description here, we see a woman who's afraid of what has just happened to her. She's frightened. And to be honest, Tony, some of us, we're so afraid of what God is doing. Is this really happening to me? Yes, it is. But here's what I love. She's afraid, but she's not ashamed.
All right.
She's afraid, but she's not ashamed. God is looking for individuals, despite your feelings, despite your emotions, to say, God, you changed my life.
Glory.
God, you delivered me. God, you set me free. I'm going to do it in front of these people. I'm going to do it. I don't care how they feel, what they think about me. I'm going to acknowledge your amazing power. I don't care about the repercussions. I don't care about the opinions of others. I'm going to do it boldly because it's you. And you alone. I know that I experienced you in a great way. I know that what you did in my life, nobody else can do. I've been going to doctor after doctor after doctor. I've been calling every person that I know. I've given all my resources. But God, I had an encounter with you. And I know it's you. Imagine what this woman has felt. She's finally at this place where she's done all she can do. And she's afraid because of everything she's been believing for. Verse 34, and then I'm gonna get out of here with a big idea. Because of that word faith here, and I've taught on this before, it's pistis. It's to put your trust into something. Into someone. It is her trust in him that delivered her. Ladies and gentlemen, this is really the biggest thing, man. God wants to know, can you believe in me enough? Don't just ask, expect. And then my favorite part, he says, your faith, go in peace. Mentally, emotionally, Not just physical restoration of peace, but you can have peace of mind now. You can have peace of heart. Knowing that you don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to be ashamed about who you are. You don't have to worry about who knows your secret. You don't have to worry about people exposing you. You don't have to worry about people labeling you unclean, unworthy, problematic, untrusting. You don't have to worry about it. You can go in peace because I've delivered you. I set you free. And this thing that has weighed you down for 12 years, this thing for some of us, 10 months, 10 years, 20 years, God is saying, when you encounter me, you ain't got to visit it again.
Amen. Glory.
There are some things in life that are inevitably going to come back in a different form with different people, but it feels good to know that when God says, it's a wrap. That's a wrap. It's it.
Yes.
And here's the thing. I have this imagery in my head. These were demons trying to do it again. But, ooh, watch this. The God, I imagine, in this situation, arrested her blood flow. So it had to flow properly. No matter what a demon tried to do, no matter what people tried to say, the blood flow had to honor the command of God. The blood flow. No, the creator of everything said, I can't constantly bleed no more. I don't know. I know that physiologically, biologically, emotionally, I feel that she thinks it should be happening again, but I'm not allowed to move this way because God says I'm not permitted to do so. God has some of our situations arrested in bondage because they're not allowed to visit us again. I'm glad I serve God. That's it. You're not allowed to mess with East End way anymore. You're not allowed to mess with Target that way anymore. You're not allowed to mess with Portland that way anymore. You can see it coming, but it don't make it. Man, don't make it. And I believe, Lord, give me a big idea. What are you willing to do so God can change your life?
All right. That's good, man.
I believe there are individuals here today. Today can be the day, the last day, you struggle with lust.
Go ahead.
Today can be the last day you struggle with pornography. Today can be the last day you struggle with alcoholism. God said, look, all you got to do is encounter me and your suffering is over.
Right.
Go in peace. There are new battles you're going to fight, but not this one. You won't be depressed ever again. Not that you won't be sad, not that you won't be frustrated, but your feeling of self-worth and value will never be as low as it is after today if you just give me the if you just experience my glory.
Glory.
But what are you willing to do? What are you willing to do so this aspect of your life, you will never have to experience it again? Imagine, Nene, crowd of people. See, if I could just. I can just. Come here, Reggie. Don't let the glory walk this way. Don't let the glory go by without just don't. I'm almost done. The glory, when I sit down, don't come to me afterwards talking because the man of God is done. And there's a window of time for you to just touch. See, this whole sermon has been an experience. And this is the glory of God. Pastor Mike, come back this way. See, me talking and talking in the sermon, that's the glory of God walking by. But before I sit down, he wants to know, can you just touch? He wants to know, are you willing before I sit down? Can you get something from me? First two questions. The last question is, what are you willing to do so God can change your life? That's it. This is the hem of the garment. This is the moment that you've been waiting for. This is the glory before me. This is the anointing. This is the moment where you don't have to suffer anymore. God wants to know, what are you willing to do? Because keep walking, Reggie. Once it goes.
Yes.
Once it goes, you're back to natural resources. Once it goes, you're left to manly wisdom again.
Right.
Once it goes, you're limited to the contacts in your phone.
Right.
Once it goes, you're limited to whatever you have in your bank account.
Right.
Once it goes, you're limited to the inspiration of those around you who don't know the significance of your decisions. Once it leaves, what are you willing to do, man? she's wrong. I don't know if she stumbled, but I know she made it.
Right.
I know she made it. Oh, watch this. Oh, watch this. Watch this. Stop looking for a cute cure.
All right.
We want to stroll up. Yeah, he's talking to me. Sometimes the cure and the answer is ugly. Sometimes it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
Sometimes it's inconvenient.
Yes.
Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes I got dirt on me. Sometimes you see me struggling to get it. But guess what? As long as I get it, baby, I don't care. I got what I needed. You still wrestling with your stuff. Let me walk in my new anointing. Let me walk in my new power. Let me walk in my new strength. Because I just got a taste of it. Mm. So, I'm only gonna ask you one time. I'm not gonna come to rhyme today. I'm asking one time. Whatever it is, go ahead, Reggie, have a seat. Whatever you're facing, now you know you gotta expect. Your days of bumping God are over.
Right.
Now it's time to be blessed by it. Something about the name Jesus. Yeah, I helped him. But are you going to be blessed by that name?
Yes.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, you're right. But are you going to be blessed by it?
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Redemption Church of Fort Wayne, Indiana's audio podcast with Pastor Khalid Griffin. Tune in every Monday morning and don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, and share with others. Until next week, stay blessed.